Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living, dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us tonight. Hope you're making it through the weather we're having. I know it's pretty bad across all of Tennessee. Hopefully everything will be all right. Hopefully we get through the show tonight. Remember those in Arkansas and Mississippi. Unfortunately, we had some fatalities, so keep those families in your prayers. Hopefully things won't get bad here. I've got a good show lined up tonight. We've got Eric Rowe Johnson, who's from Trail Life USA, which if you remember last year, pretty much the homosexual activists ruined the Boy Scouts. So a lot of people with principles and morals decided that they would no longer remain involved with the Boy Scouts. And Trail Life USA was the result of the organization of those with principles who they just could not go along with what was going on. And so the organization is Trail Life USA. Eric is a area coordinator here in Middle Tennessee, and we'll be talking with him a little bit about the organization and how things are going. And then a little later on, Joanne Skidmore, who is running for a seat on the county commission in Rutherford County, will be with us to talk about her campaign. And Danny Page, he's an independent candidate for U.S. Senate. He's also running against Lamar Alexander. So we will talk with him. Got some things that have gone. Well, I want to talk about this weekend a little bit. I went to an event this past weekend called Defend the Constitution Rally. It was in Waynesboro, Tennessee. And I don't know if I've been to an event that had as many good speakers as were at this event. And I don't recall all of them, but I'll just throw a few out. And if you're involved in Tennessee politics at all, you've probably heard these names. We had John Harris from the Tennessee Firearms Association. We had Bobby Petre from Tennessee Eagle Forum. We had Bill Warner from PoliticalIslam.com. We had Kathy Henners from DailyRollCall.com. Let's see, we had Billy Vaughn. Billy Vaughn and Karen Vaughn are the parents of Aaron Vaughn. They're originally from Union City, Tennessee. They still have family there, and that's where they consider home, although they live somewhere else now. But their son, Aaron, was one of the SEAL team members on the team that took out Osama bin Laden a couple years back. Well, unfortunately, he was also one of the SEAL team members that was killed in a mission called Extortion 17. And this was a mission where they used antiquated aircraft, insane rules of engagement. They knew where they were going into a hot LZ, yet they were not allowed to have covering fire as they came in. They knew where bad guys were, but because of concern for collateral damage, they couldn't take out the bad guys. As a result, Aaron and quite a few others on this SEAL team were killed. There's some other strange things about it. There were some Afghanis on that mission, and before any mission, there's always a manifest. Okay, you've got a name of every person who is going to go on that mission. Well, the names of all the Afghanis that were originally supposed to be on that mission were changed at the last minute. Okay, so they had a bunch of Afghanis thrown in there they were not familiar with at all. Well, bottom line is Extortion 17 was shot down, and a lot of the people, a lot of the SEALs who were involved with The Osama bin Laden raid, with taking out Osama, were killed. And, you know, the families, of course, were upset, and it was explained to them, the ROE was explained to them, and, you know, they were, it was pretty much initially, you know, cut and dried, hey, well, yeah, we worked under some really strict guidelines here, and, you know, we're sorry, and they were told that for a few months, and then all of a sudden, that was denied. They were told officially by somebody, some other higher-ups, oh, no, no, that's not what happened. So they got different stories, which does happen sometimes, but this was very, very suspicious. And the fact that you had so many members of that SEAL team on that one bird, and then the last-minute manifest changes. And there's a book that Billy Vaughn has written, and if you want to know more and get all the details straight, and I don't want to say anything that's not accurate here, read the book Betrayed by Billy Vaughn. Met him and his wife Karen this weekend. He's been on the show before several months back. Just great, great people. And it's just tragedy. And Betrayed describes what happened to Aaron Vaughn. Unfortunately, Betrayed describes what's happened to pretty much anybody who has ever put a uniform on when you consider what's going on in our country today. And we'll talk about that a little more here in a few minutes. Matter of fact, let's talk about that now just a little. You know, Memorial Day be here before you know it. And obviously that is the time that we should remember those who have fallen and remember those who have given limbs, risked their lives. And remember, you know, of course, all those people have a family behind them, whether it's a wife or kids or mom or dad, brothers, sisters. And it is a time to remember them and honor them. But I'm going to be honest with you, something that motivates me to do what I do and different some of the different things I'm involved with is because I do feel, and as a member of a retired member of the military and as somebody who has lost members of my family in this war on terror, I feel we've been betrayed. We've been betrayed by our government. While we're fighting, our borders are wide open. Not only do illegal aliens and drug lords and all kinds of criminals come across our border and get on our welfare system or suck dollars out of us in some other way, shape, or form and kill our people and you name it. But the OTMs are coming across, massive numbers of other than Mexicans. We found prayer rugs. We know there's Islamists coming across. They're coming into America. And for no good purpose, I can assure you. So while our guys have been fighting over there, and this goes back to the, you know, to the Bush administration and beyond, but it even bothered me during OIF-1 when I was there, and I'm like, we're over here, and I'm okay with that, but I sure wish they would seal the border. It would just seem so wrong then, and it's just going on and on and on, and it continues. So that's a betrayal. Now a bigger betrayal, they're talking about amnesty. You know, it seems like the GOP establishment is pretty much on board with that now, and they're going to cave. And we're going to have amnesty. Well, that's a betrayal. You know, so much for sovereignty. The fact that they won't close the border and defend our sovereignty was a betrayal. Now they're just going to make them all legal. And so that's one area of betrayal. Then the other area of betrayal is we have members of the Muslim Brotherhood who are in the DHS. Oh, not just in D.C., but here in Tennessee, we have links with them. We have a partnership. If you've listened to this program before, you've heard that before. I don't want to go down that road too much, but we coddle them here as well. So while our guys are fighting and dying, and losing limbs, and families are losing people that they care about, you know, fathers, sons, brothers, in some cases daughters now, our government is putting Islamists, people with the very same ideology, in positions to influence policy. Whether it's Department of Homeland Security, which, oh, by the way, doesn't even allow you now in FBI manuals or military manuals to even say the word Islamic terrorism. It's been scrubbed from all the manuals. So that's a betrayal. That's another betrayal. So as Memorial Day comes up, definitely remember all of those veterans from the current wars and the past wars, you know, those from Valley Forge on that died for this country. Sacrifice for this country. But then remember that every day that our border remains open, every day that an Islamist and a pro-Islamist is in the White House, and every day that we are taking advice from Islamists and Department of Homeland Security, the military, the CIA, you name it, it is a betrayal. It is the equivalent of having Nazi advisors in your government during World War II. That's exactly what it is. And that should motivate you. That should motivate you. You know, it's great to honor their sacrifice, but make it a living honor. Make it a something that propels you to fight, that keeps you fighting for against what's going on in our country, because they deserve that. Those veterans deserve it. Those families deserve it. And that's just something that should motivate us all to do the right thing. I want to get to a little blip here that I want to read. And this is really hard to understand how this could happen, but then again, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised about anything that goes on. 13 years after the terrorist attacks September 11th, the National September 11th Memorial Museum will open its doors to the public to make certain that Americans will never forget what happened that day. Unfortunately, some are working to ensure that future generations of Americans never fully understand the attacks, which were the most deadly terrorist attacks in the history of the United States. One of the exhibits in the museum will feature a 7-minute film called The Rise of Al-Qaeda. In that film, the Al-Qaeda terrorists are referred to as Islamists who are waging jihad with the attacks upon America. The two words Islamist and jihad have caused a controversy, with a variety of critics calling for whitewashing the description of Al-Qaeda and the attacks by sanitizing the museum commentary by removing those two words. Basically, the Muslims in this country don't want, and not all of them, but way, way too many of them, they want to remove any negative connotation of Islam and Islamist and jihad. And they are trying to do this at the memorial for 9/11. That is just sick. That is just sick. But those are the kind of things that we're facing, and that's something we have to be aware of. We can't allow that to happen. We cannot allow the evil that perpetrated those attacks on September 11th to not be named at the memorial. It has to. We just cannot allow that to happen. So just that's something to be aware of. If you love conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows has been carrying the conservative message for the net for years, and now she's here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news and conservative analysis, with a good dose of old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, right after A Just Cause Coast to Coast with Sam and Cliff on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we have a few more things here I want to go over before we get with our guest. And let me just check something here. And I don't have it. There we go. All right. Also, and this, I'm going to get back to Tennessee issues here a little bit, but that is a Tennessee issue, the whole terroristic threat. We've got them right here. Anybody that's paying attention knows that. Back to the event. Like I said, we had some absolute great speakers. Now, the turnout wasn't what it should have been. I'll say that, and I'll leave it at that. But I want to give kudos to Phil Diedrich, Dean Fisher, Lisa May, Big Dog Music, and I'm sure there's others. I don't know exactly who they are, but I want to give them kudos for putting that event together. It was a great event in terms of the people who they had slated to speak. They had some great bands. We appreciate the people coming all that way because it was out there, okay? It was in Waynesboro, Tennessee, a good ways from anywhere, okay? Beautiful area, right on the Buffalo River, beautiful area. But I appreciate the people, the speakers that drove all the way out there. I appreciate the bands that came out there and played. They had Jackson Young, who was out there. And some other bands. I'm not familiar with all of them, but appreciate the people that came out. And like I say, kudos to the people that put this thing together. Anyway, I want to get back to something here about Tennessee. You know, we've had a lot of issues with education here in Tennessee the last couple of years, the whole Common Core fight and the fight against Park. Well, currently the schools, they still use TCAP, at least for the lower grades. And there was a lady in the Nashville Metro who had a kid in the Nashville Metro schools, and she wanted to see what was going to be on the TCAP test, and the school wouldn't let her. Well, she didn't. She was like, well, if I can't see what's going to be on the test, then my child's not going to take the test. Well, they tried to intimidate her and tell her, well, you know, there's state law, and if she doesn't take it, then, you know, that's going to be 10% of her grade and blah, blah, blah. They basically just tried to intimidate her and BS her. Well, she didn't back down, and she did some digging. And there was no state law that forced the student to actually take the TCAP. Now, I'm not saying that you don't want your kid to take the TCAP. I'm just saying, you know, this is a case of a school district lying to a parent and trying to intimidate a parent. And kudos to that lady for not backing down and for digging and finding out the facts, because when it was all said and done, she pushed the issue, and this is the letter that she got. We just received communication from the Tennessee Department of Education that district policy will determine how we treat all absences from TCAP, including opting out. As a result, we will not penalize opt-out students for grading purposes. If you elect to opt out your daughter out of TCAP, her final grade will be determined entirely by her 9 weeks' averages. There will not be a grade based upon TCAP. I have attached a revised letter for parents that was just shared with the principals. And this was from Paul Changas, Executive Director, Research, Assessment, and Evaluation, Metropolitan Nashville Public Schools, 615-259-8430. So you had a parent here who wanted to know what was going to be on the test, wanted to make sure that there was not stuff in there that she didn't want her daughter exposed to, and the school tried to intimidate and BS her. And she called their hand, and she won. You know, most parents would have just said, well, okay, if I do that, I'm going to hurt my daughter's, you know, hurt her academically, and, you know, maybe there's some kind of other penalty, and I guess I just got to take their word for it. Goes to show you can't just take their word for it. So kudos to that lady that stood up for her kid. Now, you know, we've got the Park stuff. The testing was delayed. It's interesting to see how that thing will play out. I've got a few people that are involved in the education system, and you know, some of them think that because of the expense of Park, that probably with this delay, that a lot of schools will opt out and choose not to do the Park testing. Now, in the meantime, I imagine they would be stuck with TCAP or whatever they're currently using. But that's the thought of some people that I've talked to. Obviously, we didn't stop Common Core, but keep in mind, you know, we can try to repeal it again next year. The next thing coming down that's going to involve science, and it's going to involve social studies, and it's even worse. There are national sexuality standards that are going to be in the social studies curriculum and or science curriculum, and I don't think those are going to be things that people here in Middle Tennessee agree with. That's just my hunch. Could be wrong. But it's not going to be called Common Core. It'll be called something else. So we have to stay on top of things. We have to be vigilant. And, you know, we just can't leave it to the state school board. Can't even leave it just to the politicians. Well, you know, there's a few up there that fought the good fight this year on this issue. But you know, we have to stay on top of it. That's the only way to make sure that it gets taken care of. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have Eric Johnson with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Inside Tennessee.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're going to take a call here real quick. I'm waiting for Eric to call in. Caller, you have a question or comment?
Hi, this is Eric.
Oh, hey, Eric. That's a different number than I was expecting. Glad to hear from you, though.
Oh, good.
You're the area coordinator in Middle Tennessee for Trail Life USA.
That's correct.
And this came about, as I like to say, after the homosexuals ruined the Boy Scouts. That's my take on it. Not necessarily yours, but that's my take. And so I just want to kind of turn it over to you, and if you can kind of explain to people how you got involved with this, what your background is, and how things are going.
Well, let's start with background. Myself and my family has a long tradition in Boy Scouts of America. My dad was a scout as a youth in the 20s and 30s, and he was my first scoutmaster in the 60s. And my brother and I were in BSA in the troop together. I made Eagle in 68 and went off to college and started a career and got married, started a family, and about the time that my oldest son was ready to start Cub Scouts, got re-involved with scouting again. This was back in the early 80s. And so I've been involved as a registered leader with BSA since then, and spent about 5-6 years as Cub Master of a Cub Pack, and then subsequently the past 15 years as Scout Master of a Scout Troop. And my brother is also a scoutmaster, Silver Beaver scoutmaster, as a matter of fact. And his three boys and my two boys are all Eagle Scouts. So it has a big tradition in my family. And when the news broke about the change in policy that the BSA was considering in January of last year, it was not a change that I agreed with from a biblical perspective, from my personal faith perspective. And it was also, in a sense, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. There had been several other national leadership issues which I was concerned about in terms of the direction that the company was, that the organization was going with regard to finances. And really a disconnect at the top leadership and management levels of BSA with the local stakeholders, the families and churches that were delivering the program at the local level. At least that's what it was in my view.
How did it get to that point to where how did the homosexuals infiltrate, or how did it get to the point where the money issue, I know that was part of the issue, there were the corporate sponsors, or that was one of the concerns. Can you maybe fill that,
yep,
fill the blanks in on that a little bit?
To it. You know, I don't know that there's any one, you know, definitive watershed reason. It's accumulation of a bunch of things, which, in my view, are basically indicative of losing sight of the fundamental goal of delivering the program of character development in the context of outdoor youth adventure to young men of our nation. And, you know, it's really a whole myriad of things that time in our present form doesn't allow us to go into. But you can, you know, do all kinds of Google searches on BSA finances, on policy change, you know, stuff like that, and come up with, you know, several articles. There's a particularly good one that is a broad journalistic assessment of the current state of the BSA. It's actually almost a year old, written a year ago by a Reuters correspondent. You know, if you Google up BSA Reuters, you'll find that article. And it's, among other things, is discussing what is now the multi-billion dollar mega camp, which is some folks likened to the Disney World of Scouting that's being developed in West Virginia. So there's a whole host of factors, but, you know, for me, fundamentally, it was just a matter of the organization, you know, having lost its way. And there was a study that it commissioned that took 2 years to do that issued their report in June of 2012 that went into great depth and detail about the current sexual preference morality standards and affirmed the traditional prohibition of any sexual preference persons participating in BSA as being the best course for BSA going forward. And then 6 months later, we had a complete reversal of that. And stepping out from underneath the, you know, the protections that it fought hard and long for, and won under the Supreme Court Dale versus BSA decision in 2000. So, I mean, you know, really, you know, there's just a myriad of things that went into the culmination of the vote that occurred at the end of May last year, which was to allow any sexual preference youth into the organization, but deny any sexual preference adults to lead the youth. That's kind of a dichotomous, you know, dual position, which is probably legally indefensible, but, you know, we'll see. What eventuated as a result of the vote having been taken, in the course of the months leading up to that vote, there was a number of folks around the country, myself included, that were part of a loose coalition called OnMyHonor.net, which was an advocacy group to, you know, oppose what the BSA was considering, to advocate for continuing the stand that it had previously taken for decades, and indeed even strengthening it. And as a reason, when the vote did not go as we had hoped to it would, partly as a result of our advocation for it, there was a group of about 40 of those individuals that got together in Louisville at the end of June in 2013 to say, you know, just have a meeting of the mind, so to speak, of what do we do, where do we go from here kind of thing. Out of that grew a real coalescence of a thought, an idea, of persons that said, you know, let's work on coming up with a new and different organization. And, you know, BSA has made their decision, you know, they'll carry on as they see fit. We just, you know, need to look at what can we do in the context of the same type of program with regard to the activities and the adventure and so on, but how delivering it from a Christ-centered biblical perspective. And so the result of that was the decision to have a convention in Nashville here, which we did in September. And when we started out, we thought, well, it'd be great to have a few hundred people to get together and brainstorm and come up with some ideas and get some stakeholder input. And, man, it'd be great if we had about 300 people to do that. By the time it was all said and done, we completely sold out the Music City Sheraton beyond capacity of its meeting space and ballrooms to the point that we had about 1,250 paid attendees from 46 states, including Alaska and Hawaii. So we clearly struck the nerve in terms of a desire for this kind of program that we were considering. And so as a result of that convention, the organization Trail Life USA came into being, and we spent the next 4 months laying the groundwork of a organizational structure highly based on volunteers. In fact, even at this point, following our official launch in, as a program to charter individual troops in January of 2014, we have
Eric, I'm going to have to jump in. We're up against a hard break here.
No problem.
Take a short break, and then we'll come back. And, you know, proud to know that Trail Life USA was birthed here in Tennessee. That's a good thing to know. I thought
yes,
that
was
the case, but you confirmed it for me. All right, don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Eric Rowe Johnson. He's area coordinator in Middle Tennessee for Trail Life USA. Eric, before the break, we basically established the fact that Trail Life USA was birthed right here in Tennessee after decisions by the Boy Scouts made last year to allow homosexual scouts into the troops. And I do want to, one thing on that. Now, if I remember correctly, the objection to that was, well, number one, it's immoral. Number two, you would have a situation where older boys would be in charge of younger boys out on these, you know, camping trips, and that's a potential problem. And, you know, what happens when they're 18? And you would be hard-pressed legally probably to say, oh, well, you know, we allowed you in as a juvenile, and we allowed you to do all these things involving leadership and being in charge, but now that you're 18, we're not going to let you. That would have just set up a lawsuit right there for gay scoutmasters, wouldn't it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that exact scenario made the news a few weeks ago. There was a scout in Maryland who is openly homosexual that achieved the rank of Eagle. And when interviewed and asked about what that meant to him and what he was looking forward to, he his primary statement was he's looking forward to challenging the BSA because he's when he turns 18 because he still wants to be involved with Scouts as a homosexual leader. And so that kind of a policy has really created some problems for BSA. It remains to be seen how it works out. I don't envy them trying to maintain that position from a common sense logical standpoint. And the really one aspect of this that's even more difficult when you look at the actual wording of the policy change was that it's any sexual preference. It's not just homosexual, but it's any sexual preference, which opens it up to transgendered, just whatever you can think of. And so it's a difficult position. That said, BSA has very strong and good policies regarding youth protection, the too deep leadership of adults, with Scouts. But this whole scenario of any sexual preference used, as you mentioned, particularly with age differential, older Scouts with, younger Scouts. I mean, the range of BSA in the BSA Boy Scouts of America program as opposed to Cub Scouts or Venture Explorers is 11 to 18. That's a pretty good spread. To younger boys. And so it certainly is going to give some, some families at least pause for thought. So
now, has Trail Life USA, I mean, obviously your convention was a success, but has what kind of numbers are you showing in Tennessee,
well,
especially Middle Tennessee?
We launched FISH officially as a organization January 1st of this year, 2014. In that time period between then till now, we have about 700 troops nationwide. 350 of them have approximately completed the full chartering process. We have another 350 that are in process of completing chartering. And so by the end of this year, it's quite probable that we'll have somewhere around 1,000 registered units. Presently, this covers 40 states. So we have at least one troop in 40 states, including Alaska and Hawaii. And it's we're experiencing steady growth. We had about 5 to 10 units a week at the present pace. So we'll see how things develop, but it's gotten off to a good start. Still very small compared to the traditional organization, but quite good nonetheless for an organization that wasn't even conceived of 12 months ago.
In this area, in our state in general, in Middle Tennessee, a lot of people with strong traditional morals. I wonder, what are some of the things that might motivate those people that we know they don't agree with the decision, but they may have kept their kids in the Boy Scouts? Do you have some of that? And if so, do you know what some of the motivating factors are?
There's a bit of that, not just in Middle Tennessee, but, around the country. And there's a number of factors at play there. There are, as it was in my family, of course, my boys and my nephews are all in their 20s and 30s now, so, they're grown and gone. But there's a lot of Eagle Scout dads who really want to see their sons become Eagles as well. And that's understandable, and it's an admirable family tradition, and there's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of good in BSA. It is not, a boy is much better off, generally speaking, with a good local BSA unit than he is not being involved in any kind of structured youth program at all, at least in my view. We in Trail Life look at it that we're developing a program which we fully expect and are working towards becoming the premier program for male-oriented, youth-centric leadership and character development in the context of outdoor adventure and teamwork and challenge. And our program is open to scouts of any faith, no faith, but one distinction, I said scouts, old habits are hard to break. We call them trailmen. youth of trailmen of any faith, no faith, seeking faith, whatever. But we do have adult standards, which require agreement and with a statement of faith and values, which is evangelical, triune God affirming, and provision of Christ for salvation, stating faith statement. We also have a difference in our program where we are seeking charter partners. That means a local organization to sponsor a Trail Life troop with that is intentional and not just a benign host that views Trail Life as an outreach opportunity for their local ministry. And those can be churches that, of course, have agreement with our standard of faith and values. It could be a homeschool group, could be a private Christian school, could be a Christian Educational Youth Association, something of that sort. It can't be a commercial business enterprise, and it has to be intentional in its sponsorship. Again, not just a benign host, as I mentioned earlier. And so the result of that is that we've got a system in place where there is good direct oversight from at the local level from a congregational or administrative organization perspective. We expect our local units to be one of the other differences is that unlike BSA, which has a program called Cub Scouts for elementary age youth, Boy Scouts, which is for middle school and high school youth, and then Explorer/Adventurers for college and career age youth, we have one unit that covers all those four areas. It's led by a single troop master, but under each of the four program divisions, there's an individual adult leader and assistants for each of the age ranges. And we start with what we call Woodlands, and then middle school age is Navigator, high school age is Adventure, and the college career age is Guidon. So our program is intentionally designed to cover ages from 5 to 25. And it gives an opportunity for families to be involved with a program where there's a single meeting night. They're not chasing, if they have multiple age youth in their family, they're not chasing multiple nights and different meeting times and places.
Yeah. That could be a hassle. That could be a real challenge, if you had three or four kids and they were all at different levels.
Yep.
Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing this until we the people run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you doing to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, concertednationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at concertednationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Concerted Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And call in if you have a question for Eric Johnson. We're talking about Trail Life USA. It's what I like to consider the replacement organization for Boy Scouts of America. And you were talking that the way you have structured it and the close connection to the organizations that charter each troop. Do you call them troops or do you call them something else?
We call them troops, yes.
Call them troops. It's a closer relationship, and there's no corporate sponsorship. Now, that charter, you said, could be a church, it could be a private Christian school, something along those lines. And that also prevents you from, you have those strong statements of faith that are required by the leaders, and that should be enough to prevent
what happened to the Boy Scouts happening to Trail Life USA. That's the intent, I suppose.
Yes, and organizationally, there's a couple of other things that happen. Of course, we have corporate, we're a 501c3 bylaws, and one of the things that we did specifically in the structure of the organization from a national standpoint is the charter organization representative, or whoever the charter organization designates, has a delegate to our annual convention, where they have a direct vote in any changes to policy, any expansion, additions, whatever, to national policy at the group, the grassroots level. It's not something that's dictated to or managed by an elite group of national leaders. You know, it's watched and certainly has oversight. But we wanted to make sure that our local stakeholders had a real voice. One of the things that we think is important is that, the best delivery of this kind of program is at the local level. And so we're, all about using local resources, including outdoor resources. We have no plans to develop national campsites such as BSA has done, and the attendant overhead that goes along with them, and as a result, the corporate sponsorship and high levels of aggressive fundraising that goes along with that. It's
right.
This program is intentional in it being very local centric. One of the other things that we've done, the other program, is that we have developed a system of leader training. In fact, in 2 weeks, or actually about 10 days, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend, we're holding the second of what will be about 9 or 10 regional adult training seminars. We're holding one right here in Nashville. That we're drawing people from Alabama, Georgia, of course, Tennessee, Kentucky, Southern Indiana. And we expect somewhere between 150 and 200 people to come into the Nashville area for leader-specific training. We also do something else that's a little bit different. Every registered leader in our organization has to go through a criminal background check and participate in a online youth protection training program, which there's an actual test for at the end of the program that you have to score a high percentage on in order to gain final approval as a youth leader and as an adult leader in the Trail Life USA youth program.
I'm kind of surprised that the Boy Scouts didn't require that. I would have thought they would, they were a big organization. They were under attack for a long time by the homosexual lobby, and I'm just surprised that they didn't have that.
They require at least this is my understanding as of last year and what I went through when I was a registered leader of BSA, is they do require that you submit your specific personal data, address, phone number, social security number, and so on, so that they can do, and you have to sign a permission affidavit, basically, for them to do a background check on you. But they do it randomly. They don't do it for every leader. And we do it on every registered adult leader. And it takes more time. It's a little bit of more of expense in terms of the, quote-unquote, back office national operations. But we feel it's really, really important affirm and establish the safety of the leadership for the boys that are participating in the program.
Well, Michael, I appreciate you being – excuse me, Eric, I appreciate you being with us. I'm glad to hear that things are going well. We're just about out of time. I'd like to have you back sometime, maybe get an update on how things are. But do you have a website or some other contact information you'd like to put out?
Yes. The basic thing, there We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on several other social media platforms. Organization website is Trail Life USA, and that's all one word, TrailLifeUSA.com. From there, you can go to a troop locator, find troops in your area, look at our statement of faith and values, get a lot of information there, and get plugged into different regions in the country. I might just quickly add that Tennessee is one of the largest troop chartering states in the organization. We have over 20 already chartered. We have 6, I think, in the greater Nashville area, Murfreesboro, Franklin, Mount Juliet, North Nashville, and some of the outlying areas. We've got troops under development in Springfield, Tullahoma, Spring Hill. Tennessee is particularly for the size state that we are, is a major segment of the Trail Life Troop chartering population.
Well, it sounds like it's going good, and I just wish the best of luck. I appreciate you and the others who saw something that needed to be done and stepped up and did it. And I'm glad that I was never really that involved with Scouts growing up. I was kind of a bad kid, I guess you could say. But I appreciate what you do, and I'm glad that you guys stepped up. And God bless you, and good luck to you. And I'd love to have you back, and I appreciate you coming on.
Come back on and share with you how things are progressing, and take some calls, and keep people informed as to how we're going. I might add, in closing, our mission statement is really simple, and it's our mission is to guide generations of courageous young men to honor God, lead with integrity, serve others, and experience outdoor adventure. And our motto is Walk Worthy, which is a scripture reference, Colossians 1:10. So.
We can't beat that.
Look forward to being back with you again, Dave.
All right. Well, love to have you, and thanks again, and you have a good one.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number is 718-305-7176. Call in. The lines are clear. We're waiting on the next guest to call in. That'll be Joanne Skidmore. Hope to hear from her in a few minutes. I want to tell you something that I saw this weekend at the Defend the Constitution rally, and I hope somebody got – I know there were some pictures taken of it, and I hope it gets out across the Internet, because it really, really needs to. And maybe if there's somebody that's in the chat room that was there this weekend, wants to call a little bit and talk about this, they can. But somebody had taken the arm of a guitar with the strings and attached it, and inside the center of that toilet seat was a picture of Lamar Alexander. And I think that's very fitting, because we really need to flush that guy. We really need to get rid of Lamar Alexander. And so I thought that was really cool. And I thought it would make a good postcard, make a great campaign card. It definitely needs to get on the Internet and get out there. I hope that happens. I don't personally have a picture of it. I should have taken one. But that was I enjoyed seeing that. That's that was pretty good. There was also somebody, I saw somebody in an Obama mask, and I knew it couldn't be Obama because they were carrying a gun. So anyway, we got a caller on the line here. Looks like Kurt just popped up. Kurt, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Dave. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. You have a question or a comment?
Well, yeah, I thought I heard you say if there was anybody on the chat room or whatever that was at the event to call in, so here I am.
All righty.
As you know, I was there. And
you were there all weekend. You were there for the whole thing.
Yes, I was there to the. I was there when there was nobody left but me. I woke up Sunday morning to a deserted park. Well,
oh, wow.
I'll take that back. Some of the musicians were still there sleeping. And as Louis Grizzard used to say, there's a reason for that. I won't go into that part of it. But I'll give you a clue. I was up with them till, I don't know, around midnight. So they're...
Yeah.
But on a serious note, we know that there are things that we wish could have been, what should we say, bigger, namely the attendance. But all in all, and I want to back up what you said on kudos to being in Phil. You know, Phil has lived with this thing for the last 7 months. And as he so aptly put it, his wife has lived with it too. Because it seems that she's the brains of the family when it comes to the computer work. And bless her heart, she let him sleep Sunday morning. And her and Zach were down there cleaning up that place. Which reminds me of another thing. One man and one woman came down there Sunday morning, and they had everything picked up and cleaned up that needed to be done in an hour to an hour and a half.
Wow.
That's all the work there was to do from that crowd that had gathered there over the weekend.
Yeah.
And part of that work included taking down banners, et cetera, et cetera, and helping me. Bing was helping me get the signs off my trailer, everything like that, you know. But I think it was a good warm-up, a good practice run for some future events. Everyone learned some things to do differently than what we did. Like, I think one of the keys is that venue was so remote that we need to not have a venue that remote making that much difficult for people to get there.
Yeah, yeah. And the surrounding counties, the populations of the surrounding counties were not all that large to pull from. And, you know, a lot of the people came from Nashville, two and a half hours.
Yeah.
It was about 2.5 hours for us, a good little haul for you. But it was
and
a nice setting.
And it's coincidentally here, I'm looking at the Trad-Am chat, and Bing is commenting about something here which points me to, I guess, you know, the high point to me for this event, of course, having Joe Carr there and being able to campaign for him and represent him was worth a lot to me personally. And his boys, Bomb Dog and Versus Politicus and a few more that helped make the weekend. But when I got home a little after noon Sunday, I pulled in the driveway and it was just starting to rain. And instead of just bailing out of the truck and heading to the house, I just sat there and I looked over on the dash of my truck, and there was Billy Bond's book. I'd been waiting to buy a copy. I wanted to buy it from them personally, and was able to do so. And of course, Billy opened up the book, and he wrote something in it. And when he handed me the book, I never opened it. I just took it to the truck and laid it up on the dashboard, and in the back of my mind that I will look at it later. And when I got home and parked that rig in my driveway, I reached up and picked up Billy's book off the dashboard, and I opened it up, and I flipped to where he had written it in one of the fly pages on that thing. And, Dave, I'm going to tell you, I sat there, and I bawled like a baby at the words that Billy Vaughn wrote. But more importantly, my mind went back over what I heard him say as he stood there on fire on that podium.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can't blame him.
Our people need to catch the Billy Vaughn fire. They truly do. They truly do.
Yeah, well, maybe if everybody could hear that story, they would.
Well, that's, you know, that's part, as I see it, that's part of our job story out there. But anyway, that's how that affected me. I'm not ashamed to admit that I sit there and I cried just at the memory of the things that I heard him say. And when I read the words that he had written in that book, it's worth a lot to me just to know people like that.
Yeah.
To know what they've gone through and to see what they're willing to do now for the cause. It's people like this that gives me the faith that I'm almost reluctant to use this phrase. As a matter of fact, I think I won't use the phrase that I started to. I'm just going to say we're going to win this thing in the long run. I may not live to see it, but I believe it will happen. This is a battle of good versus evil.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, I mentioned the betrayal. I mentioned that betrayal, and I mentioned that our military has been betrayed every day. Anyway, I'm up against a hard break. I've got to go. And we will have Joanne Skidmore with us right after the break. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The White House has announced its plans to impose additional sanctions on the Russian government amidst the ongoing crisis in Ukraine. The new sanctions are aimed at government officials and companies associated with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Specifically, 17 companies linked to Putin could face asset freezes, and 13 of them could be banned from exporting goods to the United States. Vice President Joe Biden took the stage at George Washington University today to bash Republican Paul Ryan's latest budget plan.
We're losing the values that built this nation. And in my view, this massive shift is being largely driven by this incredibly narrow mindset that presumes that wealthy investors are the sole drivers of the economy.
Look for Biden and other Democrats to attack the Ryan plan frequently this year as the midterm elections approach. And the Senate will vote Wednesday on raising the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour. It's unlikely, however, that the legislation will receive the 60 votes needed to move forward. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
It's still on the line.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Meadows, host of Graceland. Join myself and author Curtis Mang on Thursday nights for some common sense conservatism from the soul of the South. That's Graceland from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern, 9 to 10 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
If we
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Joanne Skidmore from Rutherford County, and she is running for a seat on the county commission there. Joanne, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for asking.
Well, glad to have you on. And tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Well, I'm a small business owner. I'm a parent. I grew up in Rutherford County. I've always been active in my community and always believe in giving back. And in recent times, just speaking with some constituents in the area that were very frustrated over the shutdown in D.C., I had one in particular that was just disgusted with, you know, both political parties, you know, the major parties. And I just, you know, I told them, I said, it's not really a matter of, it's not a party issue, it's a lack of leadership. And it really convicted my spirit because leadership really begins here at home locally. And, I know people seem to focus on our national offices and how we're led on a federal level, but what really impacts people is how government is run here, right here locally on Main Street. And so we have an open seat on our county commission in my District 15, and no one really was coming out to step up for that seat, and I knew with my experience in business and in leadership that I could do the job. So I decided to throw my hat in the ring.
What kind of business do you run?
I'm a strategist. I actually help mainly physicians, but I do some small business consulting, helping them run their businesses better and more efficiently. And it's not just about the bottom line. It's more about you know, the quality of life, not only for the employer but for the employees and for the patients who they serve. So looking for ways to do things more efficiently but without compromising quality of care.
Right. Now, you know, you talked about the importance of the local government, and I understand what you're saying, that we normally focus on the federal. I didn't even focus really on state politics until a few years ago. My focus was always federal, and then I realized, well, if you're ever going to rein in the federal government, it's going to take state government involvement. Well, if you're going to rein in your state government, it's going to take county government involvement. And matter of fact, at the county level, you know, I don't know if your county, I'm sure your county is at least similar to mine, and your commissioners probably have not seen a federal grant or federal program that they didn't like if there were dollars tied to it. And so it's, you know, federal and state, and, you know, the county, that's a place where we can get involved and say, hey, you know what, we don't want this federal grant. We don't want to run the debt up anymore. So it is important to have people at all levels that care about doing what's
everything
right.
Everything comes with strings attached, and so, you know, if something sounds too good, it probably is too good. And it's just like right now, the real hot topics in our area and maybe in yours as well, Rutherford County is, you know, around 292,000 residents, and we've had a very, very low turnout in our early voting. A lot of it's because many people who live in the city limits don't understand, because they haven't been taught civics, they don't understand that they can vote in a countywide election. Because we just had our city elections. We just elected a city mayor. We just elected a new city council. So they, the next day, our early voting started for a county election. So they were thinking, oh, well, the people who live in the county are electing their county mayor, not realizing that the county government impacts you as well, no matter whether you live within the city limits or not. You live inside Rutherford County. And so you actually have two governments here, the one that governs your city if you live in the city limits, and then the one that governs the county. And so that's been a big frustration, is just educating the community. You know, many people want to get out and vote, but many don't know that they can vote, or, you know, what their district is or who their representatives are.
Well, how much of Rutherford is rural? I would have thought a good bit of it would be.
Well, you know, it's a really big county, and so you've got, you know, people think Murfreesboro, but you got Smyrna and Laverne, and you've got, you know, some unincorporated areas, you know, and then you've got Christiana, and you've got Eagleville and Rockvale. And Eagle and Rockvale have just really, you know, really exploded. And they're getting some huge growth out there. They've just implemented a new sewer system, which will enable them to have even more growth. And so the county is growing everywhere, you know, and I think Forbes just reported that in the next 3 years you can expect a 23% growth in Davidson, Rutherford, and Williamson County. So
wow.
It's only going to continue to grow. And what I was going to mention, I digress a little bit, the hot topics here are forced annexation. You know, obviously the federal health care issue that we've had put upon us, but two, Common Core state standards. That's been a really, really hot topic here, especially specifically in my district. We want state sovereignty, and we want our states to have more power. And locally, you know, educators and parents want to have a say in how their children are educated. And we don't disagree that we should have standards, but, you know, the people here in Tennessee, the people here in Rutherford County should decide what those standards are.
Right.
And,
if they're going to be state standards, they need to be truly state standards, not phony state standards that were actually created by some special interest group.
Well, and if you've noticed, you know, you already have states that had started to adapt Common Core that are starting to pull away. You know, the ones that the people who are proponents of it were touting as, hey, they're doing great over there. Well, they're stepping away from Common Core state standards. And to me, you know, at a glance, it's like they couldn't get Agenda 21 passed as a whole, so they're trying to pass it in parts and sneak it around, you know, in a very innocuous way so nobody notices. But people who are active and who are informed do notice, and they are speaking up.
You know, I wonder if there is a more informed and active group in any other state as what we have here in Tennessee, especially Middle Tennessee. We got a lot of people that know what's going on, and I wonder if it's the same way in the other states, or if we're kind of blessed in that area.
I think that we are probably a little unique in that way, because if you notice, you know, obviously when it comes to election time, you know, people race to Iowa and Ohio, you know, because they carry great weight in Tennessee when it comes to national elections, because they know that we have an impact, that we do make a difference. And we're good at getting messages out. You know, I think our motto of being the volunteer state goes deeper in that we, you know, we are a grassroots state. We're really good on the grassroots level at getting the message out, especially an important message when it comes to our children and our health care and our property rights, our Second Amendment rights. You know, we're very strong in those areas, and we know how to, you know, to hold the line. And that's what's needed more now than ever. Our local county school board had a textbook review, and many concerned citizens had done their due diligence and presented them with a lot of errors and flaws in the textbooks that were up for approval. And my opponent made a motion to approve those textbooks, even though they were full of errors and flaws and were incorrect. And those textbooks passed unanimously in the face of opposition of the constituents. So to me, that is just not good government. You know,
DC's style. That's the DC style stuff.
Well, and the entire school board, you know, this is a Rutherford County school board. Not one member of that school board has a child in a Rutherford County or a public school. They're either in private school, or they are homeschooled, or they're out of school.
Wow,
so you don't
sad.
Really have
that
a representation. Yeah, they're not having to live under the rule that they're passing. So,
what does that sound like? Sounds familiar there, Congressman? Little D.C.
Yes.
In Tennessee, and I guarantee you Rutherford County is not the only one. Our friendly local pilot and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. And, Joanne, we have a caller. We're going to go ahead and see if they have a question or a comment. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I'd like to know if Ms. Skidmore even attended the school board meeting and if she understands that by law the school board is required to pick from school books designated by the state.
Well, the caller happens to be my opponent. that's running against me in the county commission race. And the great thing is about if you're not able to attend those meetings in person, you get to see them on video. And so reviewing those. And the one thing I do know is that the school board did not inform the constituents that were there representing the concerns of the citizens of what they can and can't do. They don't try to have transparency or make anyone understand what their limitations are so that they can go to the source and make a difference. We have to do all the back work on our own.
Yeah. It's my understanding, too, and I could be wrong on this, but it's my understanding that if there is something that's not on the list, that a school district could actually say, hey, we want these. Now, I imagine, probably have to be reviewed by the State Board of Education, but they could do that.
Well, and I spent some time on the Hill actually speaking with legislators that are on these committees that are looking at this, and they are putting together a textbook review committee. And, you know, one of the things that some of the people who have been researching this have discovered is that some of the books don't even match up to what they are listed as on the list, that they when they go to pull it, it's not the book that it's presented to be. So I think something like that, when that many errors are brought to your attention, you need to bring it under review and kind of weigh out and step. It's not like they were under a gun to pass it that night. You know, I think that you have to address those views, and you have to let people feel like they're being heard. And there's no reason not to let people feel like they're being heard.
Well, Mr. Vance, caller? Let me speak,
yeah,
if I
ahead.
Can, on that.
Yeah,
one, they were needed to pass that night in order to get the orders in for the textbooks for the next school year. And two, yes, you can get textbooks reviewed by the state of Tennessee, but they also have passed. The company has to guarantee that they will make the school book available for 6 years to the schools. And a lot of companies do not want to do that. So they have to be bonded with the state. And there could be different textbooks made, but there is a lot of hoops that the companies have to jump through in order to do that.
Well, now
there's
legislation that I think addressed that this year, correct?
Sir, I didn't hear you.
I think there was some legislation that passed that addressed that, wasn't there? I don't guess it takes effect until July 1st, but there was legislation that dealt with that.
I do not believe there was. There could be, but it did not come before us.
Okay.
But you're right that the governor picks three people. I believe the state representative, House head picks three people, and the Senate picks three people for the new review committee.
Yeah, I think they've also lowered the bond amount. The bond amount was so high that it was kind of hard for maybe a medium-sized or smaller company to really, you know, have the money to put up. But let me ask you this: you said that you had to pass it in order to get the orders in. Was the issue debated earlier? I mean, or was this a last minute, oh, hey, by the way, if we don't do this tonight, you know, we're going to have problems? Or was it put off at the last minute in one of those deals? And, you know, a lot of county commissions do this. I mean, I'm Stewart County. I'm going to tell you, we got some issues. Every county has issues. So I'm just wondering, was it put off to the last minute and then, oh, we've got to pass it?
No, it wasn't put off to the last minute. The school board created three committees, one for elementary, one for middle, and one for high school, with, I believe, the high school having over 35 people on it, including some parents. And matter of fact, a lot of parents from the committee that Ms. Skidmore was talking about gave advice to the committees, all three committees. And, you know, they brought their findings to us on which school books they wanted, and this was the ones we chose.
Okay. Well, sir, I do appreciate you calling.
I'm sorry, if they're not perfect. Now, by no means am I saying they're perfect, but you got to put a textbook in a child's hands.
Well, if it's got bad material and bad information in it, I would have some issues with that. Anyway, I do appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate the questions, but I don't want to cut into her time too much because we're already running low on time. So I do appreciate you calling in, and Joanne, we are kind of running low, so I want to give you a couple minutes here to respond.
The only thing I will mention is that actually Senator Jack Johnson made a point to bring to everyone's attention last month that there were three key bills that blocked federal intrusion into Tennessee's curriculum, reform the State Textbooks Commission, and prevent data mining of students' information in the state public schools. And the passage of that legislation comes after Senate Education Committee conducted fact-finding hearings last year to address concerns regarding Common Core. Now, the bills that he references are Joint Resolution 491, Senate Bill 1835, and Senate Bill 1602. And the 1602 vacates the current Textbook Selection Commission and replaces it with the new State Textbook and Instructional Materials Commission to provide greater transparency and more public input in the textbook selection process. And that bill ensures the commission and those who review the textbooks have significant guidance by providing better training for members, provides specific review criteria that must be considered when recommending books for approval, and it makes textbook companies financially responsible for fixing any mistakes in their materials, and requires publishers to submit complete books for online review by the public. And the bill requires the commission to consider public comment regarding textbook selection.
Yeah, and we definitely need that. You know, I want to throw something out there, too. I found out that there was concern about our textbooks, the whole textbook issue, and our county, as I understand it, because of the controversy and because of Common Core and they weren't sure what was going to happen one way or the other, they didn't buy any textbooks this year. They put that off. So I wonder, I'm assuming that would have been an option Rutherford County would have had as well. Just throwing that out there.
I just don't think there's – I really, you know, I have profound concerns about investing good money in bad material. And,
yep.
You know, as much as we have resources available to us, you know, digitally, online, and otherwise, you know, a physical manual book, yes, a book, a tangible book they can take home and have access to, obviously, is the print is the optimal way for them to have access to information in addition to whatever they may have, you know, through technology. But,
right.
You know, you're talking about taxpayer dollars being wasted, you know, and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe if you're holding the publisher accountable for corrections. But, you know, there was some controversial information in some of those books that brought concern to the Bible Belt. So.
Well, you know, if part of the problem with the smaller companies is that they wouldn't necessarily be able to provide the number over the years. I mean, they might not be able to crank out a good chunk every year or whatever. But isn't it just important that what you do have is accurate? I would think
Absolutely.
That would be – actually, you know, I would rather – If students didn't have enough books but the information was right, I think that's better than, hey, everybody's got a book and everybody's information is wrong.
Well, because it's hard enough on students as it is. I mean, even when the information's correct, for instance, algebra. You know, you've got a student in freshman high school algebra, and if they don't understand what they're reading, it doesn't really do them much good. And so it takes a really good instructor, a teacher, to show them how to implement that information and to understand it. But if the information is not correct, then they're never going to get the right answers.
Yeah. Well, Joanne, I want to have you back sometime. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Our time's up. I've got the next guest lined up. And, you
Listen,
know,
it's been my pleasure.
Usually,
it's my honor, and thank you.
Well, hey, thank you, and we'll definitely have you back. Have a good one. Good luck to you.
Thanks so much. Everyone go out and vote. May
6th.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. All right, and we have our next guest on the line, Danny Page. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great,
Danny.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, appreciate you coming on. And Danny is running for U.S. Senate against Lamar Alexander as an independent. And, Danny, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Dave, I am born and raised here in Tennessee. I'm a resident of Robertson County in Greenbrier. I'm 38 years of age. My wife and I have been married over 20 years. We have 6 children, 3 boys, 3 girls, all of which are homeschooled, or my oldest has actually graduated now, going to college and working full-time. And I'm an electrician by trade. I've been an electrician for 21 years, journeyman certified wireman, and I serve as a project manager for a contracting company here in Nashville. Absolutely love what I do. You know, blue collar guy working with my hands, living off a budget, trying to make ends meet like most Tennesseans are. Just out there fighting the fight every day, trying to put food on the table for my kids, and, you know, find myself in the middle of a U.S. Senate race.
But now that was a self-inflicted wound, so why don't you tell us about that one? What made you want to get into the Senate race?
Right. You know, I've always had politics on my radar. It's just something I pay attention to the news. I pay attention to politics. I'm an informed voter, I guess you would call it. It's just kind of my hobby horse, so I'm always watching. But early in 2013, you know, we're all becoming frustrated with Lamar Alexander, and we're shining the light on his voting record and finding out that he is not at all standing up for Tennessee values. I began to get very frustrated with the fact that anybody in Tennessee politics that you thought would stand up and run against him would be called into his office and would come out shaking his hand, endorsing him, and raising money for him. And nobody wanted to run against Lamar Alexander.
Yeah.
And I began very frustrated with that, and I took it to prayer. I'm a man of faith. My wife and I are Christians. We're very involved in our church. We've pastored two churches. I was a youth pastor for 3 years. That's who we are, what we do. And so I took it to prayer, and because I believe that God sets up kings and God sets down kings. And obviously he's not a king, but our government is established by God. He gave us this republic. It's by his hand, his providence, that America exists today. And so I took it to prayer. I'm supposed to pray for those that are in authority over us. I'm supposed to pray for our servant leaders.
That their reign be short, right?
Right. So I began to pray about it, and I believe that God spoke to me and said, I want you to run. And I literally told God, that's absurd. I'm not a politician. I've got, you know, work to do. I'm trying to buy a house. I'm trying to feed my family. I've got one that just graduated. We've got to send her to school. You know, I don't have time for this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to start, you know. So I took it to my wife. I said, we got to pray this through. And we began to pray together, and she said, you know, I think this is what God wants. And she literally thought I was crazy when I first took it to her. And I said, just pray the craziness off so we can get back to what we do. And I took it to some folks in my church that I let speak into my life group leaders, you know, people that are close to me, and said, okay, let's pray about this. And we prayed for weeks, and everybody come back with the same answer. I took it to my pastor. I said, and I go to Cornerstone Church in Nashville, very outspoken church. Our pastor is well known around the state, the country. And I said, I don't want any surprises, Pastor. I want you to know about this, and I want your blessing before I do this. And he prayed about it for several weeks, and he came back to me and said, I want you to run. I think God wants you to run, and I want you to follow God's will. And so we announced, and this is what we've been doing. And God's been opening doors, and we've been stepping through them. It's a very non-conventional, non-traditional type campaign. And, you know, one of our slogans is turn the page on politics. What we've been doing, Dave, for 30 or 40 years is not working. It's just not working.
It's not.
And so in order to do something different, we've got to do things differently. And we can't just keep doing it the same old way and expect a different result. We all know what that is. So as I began to do this and doors began to open, I began to meet with groups, speak to groups. We've traveled the state a couple of times so far, and things are really busy this month, in fact. But God spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to tell the people. 80% of this nation declares that they are Christian, but we are known as the silent majority, and we get upset, we get our feelings hurt, and we're not represented, and we do not show up to vote. We have a right to vote, a fundamental right to vote, a God-given right to take part. And God gave us a republic, not a monarchy, but a republic. And that is something that means we, the people, are the bosses. We, the people, are the rulers. And we need to take advantage of that. But what we do as the Christian majority is we sit back and we allow the very few in this country to speak very loudly and to rule and to reign and to dictate. And then we get mad and we fuss about it for 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. And that's great, and we can do that too. But instead of fussing about it and all that energy that goes into fussing about it, let's get out and do something about it. Let's find candidates that will represent us, that will serve us, and let's vote for them. Let's support them. Let's pray for them. Let's take back our government. And yes, what I found, and we all know this, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible gives us the prescription to take our nation back. We can do this. I can't save America. Dave, you can't save America, but God can and will save America if we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek his face, and if we'll turn from our wicked ways. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, and the end thereof is destruction, the end is death. God lets us have it our way, but the reward in having our way is death at the end of the day. We need to do it God's way. We can't proclaim to be a Christian nation and continue to do it our way. And what
I agree that I have to step in here because I've got to take a break here in a second. But I agree that I would think that to call us a Christian nation today, even though many of us are and many of us wish we were, but I think to call ourselves a Christian nation today would be an insult to Christ. I do think the problem is more of a spiritual and moral issue than a political one, but we definitely have to do something different. Anyway, we've done it our way, and it's created a nightmare. And speaking of nightmares, one of the worst nightmares, other than Lamar Alexander, that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. All right, we're up against a hard break. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back with Danny Page on Inside Tennessee.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on The Michael Behrman Show.
Hit me!
Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Danny Page, independent candidate for the U.S. Senate in Tennessee. He's running against Lamar Alexander. Now, Danny, I want to ask you something. I agree that America's problems are spiritual / moral. Okay, all the problems we have stem from that. Okay, and so I do believe that, and I believe, that is something that, Christians are going to have to do. Now, but you're not running for chaplain of the Senate.
your values and your beliefs should never leave you as you're running for U.S. Senate. But, you know, just like your wife thought you had lost it when you said that God had called you to, I think you could understand how a lot of people will hear that, and that's going to, there's a lot of people are going to say, well, that guy, you know, thinks God talks to him. And I'm not saying he didn't, okay? Just understand that. But I'm just saying that you've got to admit that that seems a little much to some people. But beside that, just set that aside, obviously you're going to stay true to your convictions, and that's going to impact and shape how you vote in the Senate if you were to make it to the Senate. But what are the – legislatively, what do you want to do if you are elected?
We need to get back to our founding principles. Our forefathers, when they declared independence, what they recognized is that our liberties, our rights, our freedoms come from our Creator. And you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those are things that drove a revolution, that founded a nation, that caused men to understand that they would surely all hang together or all hang separately. They were willing to lay aside their sacred honor for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is what we got to get back to. Individual liberty in this country, people don't even recognize what that is anymore. We have generations of children growing up that do not at all understand what liberty is, certainly not being taught liberty in the schools, and in most cases not in homes, because parents don't understand what liberty is. We've grown up with big government. You know, Bill Clinton said that the age of big government was over. Oh, don't we wish it was over. We've got to shrink this government. So, yeah, my core principles are going to be life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. A country that destroys 57 million unborn babies, cannot have honor, cannot prosper, cannot move forward. A country that spies upon its own citizens, that robs its own citizens through the income tax and the IRS. You know, we can't move forward like this. A country that lets the Federal Reserve handle our money. You know, Congress is in charge of that, and Congress has said, you know, we don't want to deal with it. We want to hand it over to the Federal Reserve. It's an unaudited entity. It's destroying our monetary system. We've got to get a hold of these things. I want to end the Fed. I want to end the IRS. I want to end NSA surveillance. I want to end Obamacare, end Common Core. I want to implement a fair tax. I want people to get a breath of fresh air about liberty and you know, just breathe that in and say, you know what, I like this. I like the taste of this. And you do your thing, Dave, and I'll do my thing. And as long as I'm not bothering you and you're not bothering me, you know, it's kind of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we've got to quit dictating what our neighbor does. And you know, I don't want the NSA spying on me. You don't want it spying on you. And you don't want me spying on you. And I don't want you spying on me. Let me live my life. You live your life. And let's go about being Americans. Let's pursue happiness.
We need to pursue some
freedom. The American dream. Excuse me?
Well, we definitely need to pursue some freedom.
Absolutely.
Still got. It looks like Joanne is still with us, and we have Kurt with us. Do either one of you have a question or a comment for Danny?
Go ahead, Joanne. If you have anything.
Well, her number's showing, but I guess she's not there. Okay. Kurt, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hey, Danny. Good to hear from you again. I want to make a couple observations here, if I may. I was favorably impressed to hear you say that your church affiliation is with Cornerstone. I have a great deal of respect and admiration for Maury Davis. As a matter of fact, when my scheduling used to allow it on Sunday mornings, I used to watch your service up there. Unfortunately, my church scheduling changed, and I don't get to hear it anymore. But you have a great leader there in the person of Maury Davis. And I was also very proud of Cornerstone when they hosted the, for lack of an actual terminology, we called it the Anti-Sharia Conference back right. A few years ago when, I'm going blank on the names here, Rick Womack and all of us spoke over at Cornerstone Church. I was there for that. It was a great event, and I was proud of Cornerstone for hosting it. But anyway, but my observation I wanted to make, and I mean no disrespect or anything of that nature. I just want to toss a little bit of reality at you. Like a few years ago, I campaigned for a young man who was running for the U.S. Senate as well, who told me God told him to run for that office, and he very well may have. But unfortunately, God did not tell him that he was going to win it,
right.
Which is obvious because he didn't. I hope it turns out differently for you. But anyway, I'm a realist.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I look at all the aspects of it, and I do wish you the best of luck. But I have a question I need to ask you. Let's suppose that someone other than Lamar Alexander wins the Republican primary in August. How, if in any way, will that affect your decision-making process and what you'll do from there on?
Well, good question, Kurt. And let me say this. God told me to run. God never said you're going to win. So I don't put words in God's mouth, and I don't have any dreams of grandeur that way, but we are in this to win this, and I'm campaigning to win this. But, you know, if God said, hey, you're going to be the next senator, then why campaign? So we're going after it, doing the work. But as far as if someone wins the primary other than Lamar, who's on the ballot is on the ballot now. There's no changing that. I can't get off the ballot. People can't get on the ballot. So moving forward, and the way I look at it, if Lamar wins in August 7th primary, then Tennesseans will have a second shot at Lamar in November, having me as a conservative on the ballot. If someone else wins and Tennesseans are happy with that, then they're probably going to vote for that person in November. They'll probably, you know, because typically if you win the Republican primary, you're going to be the senator in the state of Tennessee. So if Lamar goes down in defeat in August, for the most part, the race is probably over in most people's minds. If he wins in August, then, you know, it's a whole new election and a whole new another opportunity to beat him. So that's kind of the plan.
Okay. All right. Well, the scenario of Lamar losing in August is a happy thought, okay?
Oh, sure.
I think that's everybody. That's every conservative's goal in Tennessee. I've got to step
right.
in here just a second. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalowski is Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We are talking with Danny Page, independent candidate for U.S. Senate here in Tennessee. The phone number is 718-305-7176 if you have a question or comment. And, Danny, I'm going to say this now. You're pro-life. You're pro-Second Amendment. Would you support any kind of restriction on the Second Amendment?
No, we have far too many restrictions on the Second Amendment now. We need to back off those things.
Okay, do you believe that the purpose of the Second Amendment, is it just about hunting and self-defense, or is it to enable the people to defend themselves against the government becomes tyrannical, which means that weapons, military-style weapons, are something that the general public should have access to. Do you believe that?
I do believe that. I believe that the whole purpose of the Second Amendment, obviously everybody had guns in 1776 because they
right.
hunted. But the purpose of it is to fight back a tyrannical government. If a tyrannical government has semi-automatic weapons, we need to have semi-automatic weapons, and we know what our government has, and if they become completely tyrannical, you know what, maybe we need those things too. There's no restriction in the Constitution. It's wrote very plainly, and absolutely, we need to loosen restrictions.
Okay, now, 10th Amendment, there's a whole, let's back up a little bit. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution lays out roughly 17, 18 things, depending on who you ask, of what the federal government is supposed to do. And if it's not in those seven, in Article 1, Section 8, it should fall back to the 10th. Is that
right.
How you would govern? Is that how you would vote? Would you look at it through that vein of, okay, it's not a power that was given to the federal government in the Constitution, therefore it's retained by the states or the people? Would that be your view?
It's absolutely my view. I believe that local communities should be the most powerful governments in this country. Not the federal government.
Yep.
You know, you're there in Stewart County. Stewart County should be more powerful as far as governing goes than Washington, D.C.
Yep.
The power should be in local governments, in state governments, the state and the communities.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned the fair tax, and before we get into that, I don't want to – that's going to take a few minutes, and we're going to take a quick break here in just a second. But I do want to say this, and I've met you before. You were at our group, our Tea Party, last week, and quite honestly, I appreciate your sincerity. I think that you mean what you say. I think you believe what you say and mean what you say. And I can say this, that if Lamar Alexander is the Republican nominee, I don't know why any Republican who calls themselves a conservative, I don't know why they wouldn't vote for you rather than to keep Lamar in there. Okay, I will say that. Now, admittedly, you know, if Joe Carr is the nominee, that's a different argument. I'm not,
Sure.
That's a different scenario, but I do not comprehend how any conservative Republican, if Lamar is the nominee, I don't understand how they could vote for him when they would have an option to vote for you. All right, we've got to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And I want you to talk. I got a question for you about the fair tax, and I want to let you talk about it a little bit because it's a fairly complicated issue, and some people are probably not familiar with it. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Well,
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Danny Page. Danny, before the break, I said I wanted you to talk about the fair tax. However, I've got a little text here, and I think we still have Joanne with us. Joanne, are you there? Joanne?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you had a question or a comment?
Well, I did have a comment. What you just said earlier was so true. You were talking about how I couldn't understand why someone wouldn't vote for a conservative Republican in reference to the U.S. Senate race. And, you know, what I find interesting about that, and I'm sure you may have some comments on this, is, you know, there's a strategy in how Washington works and being able to have a seat at the table, you know, to represent our state and to get the state's business accomplished. And, you know, unfortunately, it just seems like that machine really excludes, you know, the common everyday person like Danny Page or like me or my neighbor or you or anyone else. You have to have a certain name and you have to have a certain connection and be a certain type of power in order to have a seat at that table. And it's not just about winning that vote and getting that office. It's about winning that vote by landslide so that they know you're going to be there for more than one term, to let them know that you do have a seat at the table and you do have a voice. I'll be interested to see what your comments are on that, but just looking at it from a political standpoint, you know, we have our ideals of how our Constitution should be represented, you know, for you and me, but the way the political machine works, you know, getting that U.S. Senate seat is a completely different animal. So,
yeah, and it's super, super expensive. Danny, you got a response?
Sure. U.S. Senator, as drawn up by our founders in the Constitution, is to be an ambassador for the state, to look out for the state's rights. And that was usurped in 1913 with the 17th Amendment, and therefore it pretty much nullifies the 10th Amendment the way we're doing things now. When we got guys that go up there for 30 years, Mitch McConnell, 30 years uncontested, John McCain, what, 30-something years. Lamar Alexander, he's in his 12th year. He said, serve two terms and go home, and guess what? He's wanting three terms now. These guys don't represent Tennessee. Lamar Alexander, I've been up in Maryville. I've been walking down the streets knocking on doors, and those folks say, he's not one of us. He is a Washington, D.C. insider. He is not a Tennessean. These are his own neighbors. They said he's been gone since the 70s. He does not represent Maryville, Tennessee, Blount County. He does not represent the values and the principles that most Tennesseans live by. And I understand the whole committee thing and the power structure, but that is just something that politicians have lined up to keep themselves in power, to keep us in check, and to keep us at bay from voting them out. You can't vote me out because Lamar Alexander stands a very good chance of becoming majority leader this next time. If people like Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and some of these other guys get voted out in these primaries that are coming up. Mitch McConnell has 80%. It is. Mitch McConnell has 80% conservative rating. Lamar Alexander has a 30% conservative rating. He's going to roll over and do everything Barack Obama wants. He'll be worse than Harry Reid. And I've got a list of grievances on my website, by the way. My website is page14n.com or dannypage4senate.com, and there's a list of 25 grievances. Got his voting record spelled out. Lamar Alexander is not one of us. And at some point, as I say, turn the page on politics, at some point, we've got to be willing to say, all right, we may not be on the best committee, we may not have any chairmanships, but we've got to break it loose right here. It's time to grow up and wean ourselves. We talk about Common Core and the Fed handing over $500 million to the state and the state handing it down to the local school boards. At some point, the local school board's got to say, you know what, keep your money and keep your Common Core.
Amen.
And so there has to be a principle. At some point, we've got to grow up and say, out of principle, if I don't get on one committee or one chairmanship, at least our senator is going to speak for Tennessee. He's going to vote for Tennessee. He's going to stand up. He's going to filibuster for Tennessee. And when we see him on the news, we won't turn the channel because we're ashamed. You know what I'm saying?
You know, exactly. And one thing I want to say real quick, you know, one thing that was really disappointed is when Lamar announced, I think every politician, every Republican politician in Tennessee at the state level and at the federal level, except for Desjarlais, all of them are like honorary chairman. Marsha Blackburn, you know, she's my representative. She's on. He's one of his honorary chairmen. All the state guys, you know, Ramsey, Haslam doesn't surprise me. But, you know, that's just disgusting that they would get on board with Lamar Alexander. How do you complain about D.C. and then support Lamar? How do you do that? How do you rationalize that?
Here's the theory, Dave, that's out there and that I've also heard come from our state house. I've talked to state reps and they've told me this is exactly what's in play. Lamar's 73 years old. The theory is he wants to win this election, serve 2 years, go to Haslam and say, appoint my replacement. And therefore, that's why all these congressional delegates, all these GOP chairmen across the state lined up to endorse him, because maybe Lamar will throw the mantle on Dianne Black or Marsha Blackburn or on this chairman of this GOP in this county or this, or maybe on Ron Ramsey or Beth Harwell, or maybe even Bill Haslam appoints himself to get into national politics so he can run for president one day.
Yeah.
And then everybody starts moving up and down the chain.
I've heard that theory, and all of them are scary. I've heard it a few times, and none of those are good. All very possible, but none of them are good scenarios for us.
Not at all, because then what happens is that person, whoever it is, serves 4 years as U.S. Senator. They weren't voted in the office. They're basically an incumbent come next election, which makes them hard to beat. And
all
kind of havoc is played all across the spectrum.
Yeah, you know, something we need to do this year in Tennessee, I think at the state level, we need to look and see who endorsed him. And I would tend to think that if your representative or senator endorsed him, that guy probably doesn't deserve your vote. Now, maybe that's a little extreme, but, you know, if you're endorsing the epitome of what's wrong with D.C., then how can I trust you when you complain about D.C.? Because even the state guys try to make some, you know, make a little hay out of complaining about D.C. because they love to say, here in Tennessee, they love to say about how great a job they do balancing the budget. Of course, most of them, a few of them are on enough to admit it. There's a few that will admit it, you know, how much money we get from the federal government. Or otherwise, we wouldn't be balancing our budget.
Right. It's a whole lot different when you have to do it.
we're kind of like a Daisy Duke of welfare queens. What do you think in terms of states?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, these guys pride themselves, but they have no choice but to balance the budget. And they're doing so by gathering as much funds as they can. Hey, we'll be the first in line for a race to the top. That's $500 million that we don't have to come up with, that we don't have to cut from somewhere else. You know, that's easy. I wish my budget worked like that around here. My wife and
magic
I are on the budget, and it don't work that way.
The magic checkbook. Well, hey, Danny, we're down to about a minute and a half, which really means about a minute. So I'm going to give you that last minute or so to say what you want to say, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I appreciate you being on the show. Enjoy talking to you. I appreciate your conviction. I believe you mean what you say. I believe you're an honest man, and God bless you. I'm going to turn it over to you, but I'm going to have to cut you off about 30 seconds out. Ready?
All right. Thank you, Dave, for this opportunity. I appreciate it. Tennesseans have a choice this year, a principled choice. And I want you to go to my website, DannyPageForSenate.com or Page4TN.com. Check it out. Email me, call me, ask me the questions, invite me in to your churches, your living room, your school, whatever it is. I'll be transparent. If I don't know the answer, I don't know the answer. I'll tell you that. I will not baffle you with nonsense. You'll see that I am who I am. But it's all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's get back to our founding, and let's take apart this monstrosity, this federal government, beat them back into that 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., and let's leave them there. This year, you can have a voice in D.C. for the next 6 years, and Bob Corker will do a 180 if you elect me to U.S. Senate.
All right, hey, all the time we got. Thanks again. That's all the time we got. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dash. Thank you, Joanne. Talk to you again later.